Let's get right underway as we bring to these tables our broadcast partners. The first one that we're going to be talking with right now, Ken Timmerman. And Ken, we just on yesterday, Friday, had some statements from the Secretary of State, John Kerry. We also had the President saying he had not made up his mind what he's going to do. As I listened to John Kerry, he was rehearsing the obvious. He was rehashing old news and really pretty restrained as to what they're going to do. Can they do anything? I mean, they've talked about, firing a shot over the bow. What does that mean?
Well, actually, they can do quite a lot, and the reports that I'm getting from sources inside the military in not just the U.S., but in the U.K. and other allied countries, the U.S. Air Force bases in England, for example, are geared up to strike within 48 hours. The crews are being rested. You've got in-flight refueling tanker planes that are being fueled up. There's a security clampdown on these bases. They're getting ready to go, and the target list, we've been told, is being refined by the hour. So, you know, the political side of this is one thing, Jimmy. The military machine side of it is something else. The U.S. military is gearing up for airstrikes on Syria. Now it depends on whether the political side, the president, the secretary of state, make that decision. So that's what we're waiting for right now.
Well, speaking of politically decision-making as it relates to this Syrian crisis, what about the United Kingdom? Their members of parliament decided no action as far as Syria is concerned. Is that going to impact what the United States does?
I think it will. That was a very serious setback for not just David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, but for Barack Obama, the U.S. President. It was a close vote, but nevertheless, it was a decisive vote against any military action. And this was after the British members of Parliament were briefed on the intelligence that the Brits claim to have, which they say is similar to what the Americans have. So, in other words, members of Parliament in Britain, briefed on the intelligence, did not believe it was convincing enough to show that the Syrian regime was actually responsible for this chemical weapons or alleged chemical weapons attack on August 21st. And that's something that's very, very serious indeed. People in the United States still have memories of 2002 and 2003, the war in Iraq, and they claimed that the Bush administration was interpreting intelligence for political purposes. I happen to believe that that's just not true. The intelligence itself was faulty in some areas, in particular the chemical weapons stockpiles, but in most of the other areas it was accurate. In this case, it looks clear to me that the Obama administration is making selective use of intelligence. That selective use of intelligence has been shared with the British government, and British MPs, members of Parliament, did not fall for it.
Well, you wrote an article somewhat along this line in the Daily Caller, which is a news website, and you were basically talking about the same thing. I understand the United Nations people that went in there were able to basically discern there had been some type of usage of chemical weapons of mass destruction, but they have no idea as to who it was that used these chemical weapons.
Well, that's the problem, and I argued in the Daily Caller article that we should wait to get the report from the United Nations. We need to have the facts before we unleash the dogs of war. The president has, he told the UN their investigation was pointless. Can you imagine that? Before they'd even visited the sites, before they'd taken any samples, before they'd talked to victims of people who had survived the attacks and taken samples of people who were killed in this particular attack. The president said their investigation was pointless and called on them last week to call it off. I think that's absurd. It's outrageous. We need to have the facts before our country goes to war and before we unleash a series of events that's going to go way beyond the United States. You mentioned in your setup for this for this segment that Israel is going to get involved, and they're not even a party to what's going on here. And that's absolutely true. There are going to be implications for the Israeli government. Their entire military is on high alert now. They've called up reservists, and this is because the Obama administration is worried about saving face. Barack Obama has made claims about Syrian chemical weapons use. so far the evidence is not conclusive, and he's in a quandary as what to do. His credibility is on the line.
Well, the Syrian army leaders are making the statement they've sealed up Damascus, and they're preparing their martyrs. In other words, they're thinking about using kamikaze pilots against maybe some of the ships out there in the Mediterranean. The Russians have sent in some more warships into the Mediterranean. The Iranian general saying Syria is going to leave Israel in flames. I mean, this does not sound good, not only for Israel. If it happens with Israel, this could break out across the entire Middle East, couldn't it?
Well, you know, there's a lot of hot rhetoric going on, and one shouldn't be surprised at that. I'm not surprised to hear the Iranians make their statements about, you know, setting the region in flames, and the Syrians, their braggadocio as well. However, you mentioned the Russians. Now, the Russians have sent an armada into the Mediterranean. My sources tell me that in addition to those surface warships that we've seen, there's a cruiser and a couple of other ships. There are also three kilo-class submarines, which are very difficult to detect. They're not deep divers, but they can launch torpedoes against the United States warships or allied warships in the Mediterranean, and they're very dangerous. So they have now entered the Mediterranean. Another problem that we've got is that our intelligence, U.S. intelligence, is coming primarily from the Turks. The Turks were a member of NATO, but the Turks were supporting the worst parts of the Syrian opposition, the al-Nusra Front, the jihadis, the ultra-Islamists who essentially want to impose Sharia law on all of Syria, and who have already been attacking churches and attacking Christians in Syria. It's a preview of what would happen if they win. We don't have our own unilateral intelligence assets on the ground. This is the makings of a disaster.
Well, that "what if" question I think is very serious, because what do you have if indeed it happens that Bashar Assad is taken out of power and the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, some of the other organizations, Islamic Jihad, the Salafis, the organization you mentioned, what if they come to power? Then who's going to have control of this largest arsenal of chemical weapons in the world?
Well, that's right, and that's a clear question that the Obama administration ought to be asking. I mean, if they're really going to take military action against Syria, what they ought to do is destroy the chemical weapons stockpiles. But now we learn from Washington that they don't know where they are. In the past 3 months, the U.S. intelligence community has lost visibility visibility on the Syrian chemical weapons stockpiles. They don't know where they are. They've been moved around. We don't have agents or unilateral assets on the ground, and we're talking about military strikes. As I say, this is a recipe for disaster. I really think that the president ought to cool his jets, sit back, look at the intelligence more calmly, and make a proper presentation to the American people and to the U.S. Congress.
But, Ken, is it not a catch-22? If the United States, and I'm not saying I want the United States to get involved. In fact, I don't want them to. I think it's dangerous to let that power, that Islamic radical group that's there in the opposition, take charge. But if indeed they don't do something, if the United States or some of their allies don't do something, what about the Iranian leadership? Aren't they sitting there saying, well, if Syria can get away with it, we can get away with it also?
Well, the Iranians obviously are watching this very carefully, and let's not forget that they are tied to the hip with Bashar al-Assad. They have been supporting him fully, just as the Russians have been supporting him fully. And this is a massive confrontation that we've seen. This is really two major blocks of countries that are confronting each other in Syria. Iran, Russia, Syria on one side, and the United States and our allies on the other side. The Turks appear to be with us, but who are they supporting? The most radical Salafi Islamic jihadis of the opposition. The Qataris are in there with their money, their weapons, their military and intelligence people as well. We don't know whether the rebels have acquired chemical weapons, whether they have raided a Syrian chemical weapons stockpile. We just don't know this. There are photos that surfaced over this past week of rebels holding chemical weapons rockets that were packed with sarin gas. Now, were those authentic pictures? We don't know yet. But I think that we just need some more answers before we march to war.
Give me 30 seconds on this. Is this a personality play between President Obama and President Putin of Russia?
I don't know if it's a personality play per se. Putin is certainly a very macho guy. He doesn't back down. I am sure that he enjoys watching Obama back down and get humiliated, as he's going to be, I believe, in Syria. But I don't think this is yet personal for Obama. It is perhaps for Putin.
Ken, thank you so much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.